Hello and welcome to Fueling Around with me, Jason Plater, and the strap on my helmet, it's Dave Vitti.
Fueling Around is powered by Adrian Flux. As the UK's largest specialist insurance broker, Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help save you money on your car, bike or home insurance.
Now, don't forget to press subscribe on YouTube so that you'll never miss an episode, or press the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Yeah, Dave, mate. Here we go again.
How are you? I'm very good, thank you. I mean, this is getting ridiculous now, isn't it? Because they said that this would never last. And here we are. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, this is series 10. Series 10 of something. I remember when we had this conversation before, do you remember? And I said it was whatever, series 8 or 9. And you were like, I thought it was 6. And I thought, how on earth have you suddenly mistaken or forgotten about 3 series? But for something that just happened and started as a little bit of a laugh and something to do during lockdown, and here we are still getting away with it.
Well, I know, and doesn't that feel such a long time ago?
Doesn't it?
That old lockdown. Thankfully, it feels such a long time ago. Awful time.
But here we are, once again, here we go, and we have a top guest to kick us off.
He is a very special guest indeed. So, our guest today, well, he's a TV presenter, a radio presenter, a superstar DJ, a curator of concerts who started his broadcasting career on the then pirate station Kiss FM, and these days has achieved the ultimate in respectability as the host of his own daily afternoon show on BBC Radio 2. He's a household name that your nan might have even heard of, but he still oozes cool and looks annoyingly good for his age. It is, of course, the one and only Mr. Trevor Nelson. Trevor, thanks for joining us today, you cool dude.
Thank you, Jason. That was very nice of you and Dave.
Hey, honestly, can we just kick off with the elephant in the room? Because obviously, knowing that you were coming on, Trevor and I used to work together many, many moons ago at BBC Radio 1, and you've always been a lovely man. And I kind of thought, I wonder how old Trevor is these days, because he doesn't look any different whenever I run into him on the street somewhere. 61, ladies and gentlemen. 61.
61. I know. I don't know. I mean, Dave, all I can say is when you get there, it's all right, mate.
Okay. Well, listen, if I can look half as good as you at 61, then I will be delighted. Well,
that's very nice of you. And Jason, it's happening very soon for you, I know, sir. So, you know, it's not too bad either. You look well. Both of you look great, though.
Brilliant. Well, what sort of creams do you think I should be using, Trevor?
Do you know what? I don't really use cream. But I think I only have to because I'd look ashy, what we call ashy. So I've got to pop it on. Whereas you two guys can get away with not doing it and no one can tell. So
this
and that's the problem. Men get into a real bad habit of thinking, oh, I don't need any, so I'm not going to put any.
Yeah.
But I have to, or else I look like Tutankhamun, you know. it's great to be on this. I'm going to expose you, Dave.
Okay, go.
I got a call and I immediately said yes.
Whoa. Okay, but can I just pause you for a second, because I don't want you to give away the big reveal just yet.
Oh, yes.
By all means, we can say that we have something special to talk about, but don't say exactly what.
Oh, no. I just meant I got the call to do the pod.
Yes.
And normally, you know, my agent would be like, well, you know, we'll schedule it in a few months and everything. And I went, Davey? I'm going to sort him out in a week. And we made it happen very quickly. But I must say to your podcast listeners and viewers, it's very humbling when two esteemed gentlemen like yourself say, we started this in lockdown. Can you believe we're on series 10? Who else can we call? Let's see. I think series 10, I'll call Trevor. Has he got a car? I think he's got a car. Yeah.
Listen, I'm going. Before we go any further, I'm going to jump in on this one because, and I actually have evidence of this, which I will present to the jury afterwards. Is that I sent you an email to get you on about series 6 or 7,
true,
and I never got a reply, and I've still got it, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh God, sorry, backfire. You probably did. Fair dues. I vaguely remember you saying something like this.
Came through our mutual friend, Mr. Guy Robinson. But anyway, enough about him.
Let's talk about the prosecution.
Absolutely. No further questions, Your Honour. So listen, Trevor, a superb and lengthy career, which goes from strength to strength. Let's kick off with the here and now, if we can. Could you ever have imagined that you'd be wedged in between Jeremy Vine and Sarah Cox on the Radio 2 weekday schedule?
Could you, Dave?
Well, I'll be totally honest with you, no. But no. I'm delighted that you are there because you sound completely at home and it just sounds extremely relaxed.
Well, you know, I've spent my whole life being a specialist, you know, playing R&B, bit of hip-hop, that sort of stuff, soulful house sometimes. And, you know, I've always enjoyed it, but I've always watched you big guys doing the mainstream stuff. And it's doing daytime shows is very, very, you represent the whole station when you do a daytime show. There's a lot of responsibility on your shoulders.
It's not just is it?
No, and you're not choosing all your own tunes. You're representing what the station stands for and everything. And when I got asked to do it, I sort of had been doing nights and playlisting my own shows, doing four nights a week on Radio 2. No one ever did that before, and I was really pleased with what I did. But, mate, no vitamin D.
Yes.
I was getting no sunlight. I was getting going into the building, no one's there. It just came at the right time for me. Mm. And I've been at Radio 2 for 15-odd years, you know.
Yeah,
people don't know that. Right. More than 15 years. And I know, and look at the lineup. It's just the old Radio 1 lineup. I know everybody.
Yeah.
And the child that is Jeremy Vine, who is the most childish person at Radio 2, which is really funny because he does the serious show. But it's fun. It's just fun. I'm having the best time. I never thought I would. I've got nothing else to prove as a specialist. Mm. So I'm just having fun as a broadcaster and got great producers. It's, mate, I'm having a laugh. I'm having a laugh.
Hey, so, I mean, genuinely, I used to listen to you in the evenings all the time because I love your style of music, what you choose. I love the R&B. And many a time I've been driving back from a circuit, you know, late or going to a circuit and then just like, he's on. And obviously with BBC Sounds, you can catch up and all that sort of stuff. So I guess the question is, how much of a change in lifestyle is it going to mainstream daytime? I mean, I know you've done that before, but is it a big change?
Oh, it's huge. Honestly, it's huge. We were just talking about, you know, being 50 and getting to an eighth stage in your life where you want to do what you want to do. You don't, you know, you're working for the man all your life. It's like you've got to get up to it's just wonderful. I mean, I drive in, it's, look at that, today's a beautiful day. I'll go in. I'm a bit of a people person, Dave will tell you.
Yeah.
I get on with everybody, you know, and I get in that building now. I can't get up the lift. I can't get, it takes me half an hour to go, all right, yeah, how's it going? All floors, you know, and it is, I genuinely have been a BBC man for a long, long time, you know, and some people find it hard there to circumnavigate. Some people, for some reason or another, last, you know, and I'm just that guy. I'm just loving life right now. Don't be scared of hitting 60, pal. It's all right. As long as you enjoy what you're doing, if you're still in cars or you're still doing what you like, it's the best feeling because you just have nothing to prove. You just want to have fun. Today, I want to take the cover off my car because look at the weather.
Yes, I know.
And I will straight after this pod.
So I know that you and me, Trevor, we share a passion, a big passion for something very special. But we'll leave that aside just for the moment.
Yeah.
What was your first car?
My first car was a Golf GLS, right? Mm-hmm. A Golf GLS. It was metallic, lime green sort of thing.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, it was... I love Golfs, right? Those old school Golfs. Mm. It was Irish plate. It was an Irish plate. I remember it cost me £1,750. It took me a year to save up the deposit.
Yeah.
Right? I got the car. I was very good like that when I was young. I was really good at budgeting.
And, yes, how were you?
Yeah, really good. I mean, I didn't earn a lot of money. I just knew how to budget. And... But the only thing I didn't budget for was the insurance.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when I got the car, Dave, right, I got the car and I'm like, oh, my God, I've got this car. It's got suede seats. I think it had. It seemed to have suede seats. It was just great.
And what age are you at this point, Trev?
I just passed my test. I would have been 21,
okay.
Maybe.
Right. Yeah, 21. Yeah, yeah.
So it was quite a Hackney boy, quite a nice car.
Yeah,
I think it was only a couple of years old, two, 3 years old at the time, 3 years old maybe. And I had to get third party fire and theft on it.
Yes.
Which I couldn't afford fully comp.
Yeah.
I open the side of the car like a can opener after 2 days of driving it.
No.
There was a pole hanging out of the skip. And you know it takes a while to know the distance of your for your car.
Yeah.
I just heard smash. And mate, I drove it. I wouldn't get out of the car out of embarrassment. I just couldn't. It was on the main road. I drove straight to my mate who worked for the AA. Straight to his house. I held it together. When I got to the house, I burst into tears. I burst into tears because I knew I was messed.
Yeah,
that was my first car. Eventually, I wrote it off. Oh, man. Yeah.
Surreal.
And went home. Mum, I've written my car off. And then I got a Mini.
Oh, did you? Okay. So what, a proper old school Mini must have been. Yeah.
Registration, 1975, old Mini, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
The best car ever made.
They're like pocket rockets, aren't they?
But absolutely tiny. I mean, if you see one now, I mean, the reason I said that is a stupid question, really, but we're so conditioned to seeing what we regard to being, you know, the current Mini shape. But when you see an original Mini next to the Mini that we know, they're so small, aren't they?
Have you seen that picture that's going around on the internet?
About obesity. Yes. Yeah, about all the new cars.
They're parked next to each other.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane the size of the new Mini compared to the other one.
I've driven, every time I see a Mini pull up, and I'm driving an SUV, right?
Mm.
I'm like, that's not a Mini. That's a bus. That is not a Mini.
Especially that new one, that new Countryman. The first time I saw that, and I thought, that looks like it's got a Mini badge on it. And I thought, it can't be a Mini. It's like a full-blown SUV.
Yeah. Scandalous. The 1975 Mini, I had an orange one. The gear stick was just like a stick.
Yeah.
It was a proper gear stick.
With a black plastic knobble.
Yeah. Big steering wheel. Sometimes you can have the little... A lot of people used to buy the little steering wheels for the Mini.
Yeah.
Or make them a bit rally-ish, I think. I don't know. But I love this car. It was indestructible. I could throw it around. It was just the best car. I had it for a couple of years. I loved it. It wasn't great for my sex appeal in terms of desirable for anyone to get in and ride shotgun. I still had the same ugly mates getting in there trying to scream. The girls didn't exactly go, oh, not like the Golf. But I had the Mini for a couple of years, and it got me. The reason I bought it was insurance. It was the only thing they'd insure at the time. It was only, I think it was a 1200 or something like that. But I bought some wider wheels to give it that sporty feel. But the A40.
You put an exhaust on it.
The A40 Flyover was, me and the A40 Flyover had a great time back in the day before they put those speed limits on it.
And I'm assuming that as you must be DJing at the time and obviously sort of getting a bit of notoriety. What's the first car that you can remember where you're a bit like, yes, what? I quite fancy myself in this. Hello.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's the VW Scirocco.
I've got one of those now.
Yeah. VW Scirocco. I went from the Mini to the VW Scirocco. And we were in business,
mate, business there, aren't you?
We're in business. I thought I was Starsky and Hutch. It was like VW Scirocco back then was equivalent to, it was a German Ford Capri, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Like, yeah.
It was more dynamic. Now, Jazzy B, it was my good friend at the time.
Mm.
Right. Jazzy was driving a Golf, I think, and I had the Scirocco. Yeah?
Okay.
Different league.
And Jazzy, I remember just before, I was DJing at Africa Centre, Soul to Souls night was at Africa Centre.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I was living in a council flat, so was he. So he was living with his girlfriend in a council flat in Clissold Park. I was in Leighton in a council flat. And I remember he was finishing his first album. He had a deal, but they weren't earning much money from it because, you know, the first couple of Soul to Soul records were like around 60 in the chart. They were just about a vibe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I remember driving to Africa Centre in the Scirocco, and the queue used to be down the street down in Covent Garden on a Sunday. And I'd pull over, and my boys would get out of the car, help me carry the record. That's the first time I felt like a DJ diva DJ, you know, like rocking up, and everyone's looking at the DJ going in with the record boxes, and I'd be like that. So that was my routine, but deep down, all day I couldn't eat because I was so nervous about DJing.
No way.
I was going through my records. What am I going to play?
Yeah, yeah.
One day, it's a true story. I lived in Leytonstone, 19 floors up, tower block.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Someone decided to drop a bottle, a full bottle of something, from the top of the block of flats onto my car.
Oh,
so I've come down with my record boxes to go to gig, and the whole of my roof was caved in. Like,
oh,
literally.
God.
Like, if you sat in the driver's seat,
the roof
was about to touch it. It was completely caved in and smashed. And again, I did that thing. I died inside.
Yeah.
But in case someone was watching, I didn't show, not an express. I opened the boot, put my records in there, went into the driver's seat, opened the door as if this is the shape of my new car.
Yeah.
Got in the driver's seat, looked there, cruised around the corner, and then burst into tears.
I bet you, Trevor, I bet that when you got round the corner away from anybody that may have seen you or known you, you got out of the car and looked at it, and you must have been absolutely mortified.
That's what I did, and it was just probably some kid messing about through something. Yeah. But when you're marginal, when you've got your early cars, and you're living on a shoestring, any event like that, absolutely
can derail everything.
There you go. You're living by. I mean, I'm talking about you. Every penny is accounted for.
Yeah.
You don't expect to spend an extra penny on your car. You don't have that money. You just don't have that money. So every blow like that was so crushing to me. But that was my first. Come on, girls, what are you saying?
Well, that is a great remark. I love that.
There's two things here. A, because the fact that I now drive a Scirocco, and I nearly went for a Golf GTI and I went for a Scirocco GT instead. And the fact that actually, well, I knew that Jason and Trevor shared something in common. Mine isn't quite as cool, but the fact that we share something in common as well, I quite like. But I think we need to get on to the big thing. We need to get on to the meat in the sandwich, if you like, because also, just as a quick, before we get on to it, I think the fact that everything you just said there, Trevor, in that every penny was accounted for, every pound was accounted for, you worked and you saved and you earned that car, which means that actually, when you get to the stage of life now and you have something which is, you know, it's a treat, it's a nicety, I think actually you deserve it even more. Anyway, please, Jason, ask Mr. Nelson about the car.
Well, Mr. Nelson, I had one of those cars.
Had?
Yeah.
Had, Jason?
Had. Me and my dad, we found it. It was in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 280 SL Pagoda in silver.
Wow.
Red leather, white steering wheel. Absolutely beautiful.
White steering wheel as well.
White steering wheel. The whole show. It was mint. It was mint. Absolutely mint.
The red panel.
Everything. Oh. Red leather seats. Oh. Red carpet. It cost me 55,000 euros, which actually in 2003 was, that was a good deal, I think. Anyway, I was living down in, I mean, it sounds awful to say, but I was living in Monaco. I thought, right, what car can I have down there? It's got to be something very special. And that was the car I chose. Anyway, I had it for 2 weeks and I had it nicked from valet parking.
Wow.
I went back the following day, gave him a ticket, and it was for like ages. And they gave me car keys back. I went, it doesn't work that way. Where's the car? We don't know. 3 weeks.
You're joking.
Honestly, it ripped me to...
It got stolen in Monaco.
In Monaco. Mm. Valet parking. From like Point Rouge, which was the restaurant at the time. And then on the police interview, they even accused me of nicking my own car. I said, no, I haven't. No, but things, you know, you must have organised that. I said, I didn't. Anyway, they then trawled through the CCTV and saw it leaving at 5:30 in the morning, never to be seen again.
That is
I was devastated.
Mm. Do you know what? I'm so sorry for you, man. I'm sorry for your loss. And I mean that sincerely.
Yeah. Because they are beautiful, though, aren't they?
People don't nick those cars, really. Classic cars don't really, because they're traceable. I mean, I know they're going to break it up or whatever. But the thing about that car, every part is available.
Mm.
You can buy every, you can build one of those cars from scratch now.
Scratch, yeah.
Right, so why nick one?
Mm. Yeah, I know.
Number
but
one.
Tell you me, know what I mean? How special are they?
Oh.
Aren't they beautiful?
Look
at that smile, Dave. Look at the smile.
Before we get in, because this is going to be good, I just need to do a very quick bit of mid-show housekeeping before we get on to the car. Right, if you haven't already, please press subscribe on YouTube so that you never miss an episode, or press the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. I can see the smile in your face, Trevor, because you are dying to tell us about where you and the Pagoda first met, where the love affair started.
I can't remember the first time. I've always tried to remember the first time I saw Pagoda. I'm sure, obviously, in all those 60s films, you'd see, you know, Audrey Hepburn or someone in one, you know. But I'm sure, but there were loads of two-seater type sporty cars in those days. There were loads, and they all looked wonderful. Even the crappy British ones, some of them. Right? Because I did have a Spitfire once.
Okay.
To be fair, the Spitfire was actually my first car, but it never worked. I swapped it for a telly. I had it for about 4 weeks, then it got towed because it had a Triumph Herald engine in it, which confused me, right? Anyway, I fell in love with the TR6 first.
Mm, yes.
I thought I'd buy a TR6 first because I loved the shape of them. I never did. And
good
I heard they were a lot of hassle.
Yeah.
Triumph were a lot of hassle. Mm. My mate bought a Triumph Dolomite when we were at college, which we pushed more than we sat in. So I left them alone. Stag was definitely the local aspirational car in my area.
You need a hairy chest for the Stag, don't you?
Didn't want to know. Now, I fell in love with the 280SL. I can't remember when, but it was certainly... I had a desire from in the early 90s. I don't know. I just had this thing, oh, man, if I ever can get a car... I was just one-dimensional about it. That's the car. If I could ever have that car. Now, at that time, I was driving a red Astra. It was my first company car working for EMI. And then a Cherokee. I had a Jeep Cherokee, which was great in a straight line, but could not take a corner.
Good in the snow, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but I mean, mate, they're built for Americans who drive at 55 miles an hour for 100 miles straight. Yeah, you think, this is a comfortable car. It's great. Anyway. And then I fell in love with this car, and the first bum, I'm going to call him a bum because I'm trying to entice him to come and talk to me, that I saw driving it was Jamiroquai.
No.
I was working in Holland Park at Christmas Records, and I thought, I was getting this company car thing going. They had deals with Vauxhall, and it weren't great. JK... I saw him driving a white, I think it was a cream or white one. He got his deal.
Yeah.
It was JK, Jamiroquai, you know.
Yeah.
And the crux of the bad thing about it was I played his record first on national radio.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Right. On Kiss FM before he was signed, When You're Gonna Learn. So I was his number one champion. Then I see him cruising in this car. He's got my car. I was going mad. He's got my car.
Yeah.
I was losing it inside my head.
No way.
But I thought, but it also reconfirmed how cool that car is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because JK was the coolest cat on the scene, right? And you see his car collection now, and you know he's got a taste in cars, right?
Mm.
So I thought, that didn't put me off. I was still determined. And in 26 years ago, it was now, I've had this car for 26 years, I went in search of a Pagoda.
Right.
And it was a fun search because Wandsworth Roundabout, is it Wandsworth Roundabout? You know that famous...
Where the brewery was.
Yeah, the classic car showroom that was...
I think it was Wandsworth Roundabout.
Now, I don't do South London much, but it's worth it just to drive and get stuck on that roundabout because the classic, the pagodas, there was always a few pagodas lined up outside. So you're in this big roundabout and you're like, you're supposed to be keeping you on the road and you're like... Jeremy Carter spoke about it, actually, when he reviewed the Pagoda.
Yeah.
He said every time he goes round that roundabout, it's got these beautiful pagodas, green, blue. You know, you're like, you're looking, you're going, nah, I can't leave that alone. And I went there. I went straight there. And I looked at a couple.
Yeah.
And there were around that time, a good pagoda was about 30 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Around that time.
Mm-hmm.
You could see them. You could still see them for 20 odd or whatever. Mm. I tried a couple and... they were okay, but I knew they weren't, you know. So I went to, can I mention the name of the place my car got serviced?
Of course you can.
Roger Edwards. Roger Edwards in Wembley. He's passed away now. They've moved out, but they've still got the firm. And I went to the original guy, Roger Edwards. And I said, Roger, I met him. I said, look, I want to get a pagoda. I don't want to be a mug and get one that isn't. I need some tips. What are you saying? Mm. And he was really nice. He said, he was right. He's like, well, you know, big grizzly. And he was a bit like, and he said, you get a test drive, bring it here. I'll tell you if it's a good one. And we went for about 3 or 4 cars until he said, this one, the engine's great.
Yeah,
it's only had a couple of owners. He told me what to. He gave me a good stare on it, and boy, did he pick a good one for me.
Did he?
Yeah, because that car has been with me and outlived a divorce. My ex-wife hated the car, hated it, didn't want to get in it, and I used to say that car's going nowhere, and I didn't have a garage, so wherever we lived, the car was either on the front of the house or my sister's drive. She didn't have a drive. My sister had a drive as big as the car.
Yeah.
Covered. It's been everywhere, mate. It's been in lockups. I refused it. Why don't you get rid of it? What? No. I can't get rid of it.
How many miles have you put on it since?
Not
since
many. I drive the car about 5 times a year.
Oh, right? Really?
But just love it, though.
Yeah. At one point, Dave, I was in central London.
Mm-hmm.
Speed Humpville, I called it.
Yeah.
Not a place for classic cars.
Too much.
You're sitting in traffic. You're not. It's not getting a run.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd sell it at one point, but it's beautiful. There is a. It's silver, black leather seats. It's got a rear seat that's sideways.
Yeah. Mine had.
I'm trying to get the rear seat. I'm going to investigate it for the dog. I'd love it to build something in the rear seat bespoke for my dog, because I've realised I haven't got this car for investment. I know they're worth a lot of money now.
Yes.
And mine's in very good nick, but I don't care. It's not. I've not got it for the money. I've kept it this long, and now I live in a place where I can drive it. There's no, you know, I live on the skirts of London.
Yeah.
But I just want to go back to a film. Can you remember a film called Play Misty for me, starring Clint Eastwood?
Yes. Right.
That is my beginning of the love affair. Number one. Of being a DJ, and number two, of having a classic car. Do you remember that film?
Great film.
Thank you. No, every time I say this to people, they go, oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I've seen it. It's a great film.
It was on the west coast of America. He's a DJ, late night DJ, a bit like myself was most of my career, right? He's playing this cool R&B sort of music. Clint, right? And he's got a stalker. Who used to call him up and say, can you play Misty for me? And he'd play it for her.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did the cardinal sin that we all do eventually. You get involved with a listener. You shouldn't. Or someone who says, I listen to your show. No, but you know what I mean? And he would be, after the show or before the show, he'd be driving along the West Coast. You'll see the beach. You'll see the
Ocean Highway, wasn't it?
Yes. Two-seater car. I was like, on every level, I was like, wow, what a job.
Yeah.
What a car. God, one day, eh?
Yeah. Well, one day, here we go.
One day. And I end up being a DJ and I end up having a two-seat car. I think Clint left a real big impact in that. I think he did.
Yeah.
On me in that film. So, yeah.
But you know, when you go back to when you were living in central London and you had the car, because it's obviously been with you for 26 years, how did you, obviously, we already know, like ourselves, that, you know, cars aren't just a form of transport for you. There's something that runs much deeper than that, you know?
Yeah.
So how were you about seeing that car outside on the road and maybe having somebody scratch it or bump it? I struggle with that. I struggle with that now with you know, sort of fairly normal cars. But if you've got something as special as that, how do you deal with it?
You know, the amazing thing about certain cars, and I'm going to names drop a bit here in different ways. Do you remember Jules liked his cars? Jules.
Jules. Well, he's been on the podcast. Yeah.
He's been on, well, you know. He had a Ferrari once, right? I remember. And he'd pull up outside. Yeah, he's into his number plates, isn't he? Right? He'd pull up outside Radio 1. And I'd arrive for the show because he was on after me. So I'd come out and then he'd come on after me.
Yeah.
And I'd go out and I'd see, he had that Ferrari where you can see the engine. or something, the Pistons or something, I don't know. And it always had fingerprints all over it where people had put their hands on this car. You could see it there. You can't help but touch the car.
Yeah, yeah.
With a classic, with the Pagoda, and I've watched this really closely. I've been with my new wife. And
Does she like the car?
Loves.
Good.
The car. There we are. There you go. Perfect.
Loves the car, right? Absolutely love. I mean, proper love, you know? So I remember we went, you're careful where you park it, obviously. So once in a while, we'll go Marylebone. And we'll go there, and there's a place we ate a couple of times, or a little bit, you know, at the weekend. And I put up on the road, and I'd go into the place where we're eating, and you can, as long as the car's in view, and it's like a social experiment, it is incredible to watch, right? Yes. People are so respectful of classic cars.
Yeah, I agree.
Honestly, ridiculously respectful.
Yeah.
There was a guy one day walking around this car, I kid you not, for 10 minutes with his son.
No way.
Well, we came out and we were about to go, and I tentatively walked over to my own car. Tentatively, because I didn't want to spoil his radius of walking around looking at everything. I went, hello, mate, you're right. And he went, yeah. Is this yours? And I went, yeah. This is a typical conversation I have. I have one of these once. And he's looking through the window, and he's asking me all these questions. His son's just standing there like perplexed. And then he told me the story. I said, what do you mean you had one once? He said, oh, yeah, well, I met his mum, and then we had him, and then I had to get rid of him.
No, you're joking. You are joking.
We had him, and I had to get rid of it. The other and I just went, we started laughing, because he just was so upset. He was going, oh, it is. I kept the car. Another time I drove to... me and the missus drove to, I don't want to say, but it was anyway, a retreat in Oxfordshire, well known, right?
Yeah.
And I think the car can take that drive, M25, A40, but you know, it's all right, easy. It's nice and clear, beautiful day. And the last 5 miles, we're being followed. We felt like we're being followed. I'm being followed.
Yeah.
I felt, because I'm not driving full pelt, so I can tell they could have overtaken.
Yeah.
At any point, there were so many opportunities. Why? Just overtake, mate. Go on. I was literally waving. They're just behind us. They were going to the same place.
Right.
Like, there were a couple, a gay couple, right? And it's only, the only relevance in me saying they're a gay couple is what comes next, right? So we pull over, the car gets parked. They park their brand new, whatever it was, shiny thing. And one comes out with a dog, and the other one's behind him, and he walks up to the car and goes, I had one of them. I had one of them. Didn't I?
No way.
Didn't I tell you we should have kept it? I told you, didn't I? How much are they worth now? Blah, 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 blah. He's just having an argument literally before they've gone into the hotel retreat. It's a farmer.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm standing with Mrs. going, oh my God, this car. And other occasions, we pulled up at the lights. And an older woman with a stick walks up to me and goes, oh, hello. Talking to the car, not us.
No.
I wish my missus was sat here, because she'll start talking to the car, and then she'll talk to us and go, you know, I literally pulled over because she was so sweet. my husband had one of these. He's passed away. And when I met him, he had one of these. And it was the reason I really wanted to be with him, because it was...
No way, how lovely.
Honestly, I'm not even joking.
I tell you what, I bet you've done, because I did in the 3 weeks that I had. Right. I must have...
By the way, that should be a book, Jason. My 3 weeks with the Pagoda. You know?
Yes! I must have cleaned and polished it, I don't know, how many times? Yeah. At least twice a week. But I always caught myself, as soon as I parked up, I'd get away, I'd walk to go to a cafe, a restaurant, or something. I'd always give a loving look.
Yes.
Do you do that?
Yeah, why is it so? Yes, I do. And
I prefer it.
You know, this is the thing. Did you prefer it with the hood up or hood down?
I prefer it with the hood, because it was
down. With the hard top on or the soft top on?
No, I preferred it either with it all off, as a convertible, or with a hard Pagoda top.
Because there's three looks for the Pagoda. That's why I love the car.
Yeah.
There's three looks, distinctive looks. There's no roof, no hood.
Yes.
That
beautiful.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Stunning.
Then there's the hard top, which some people love, which is where it gets its name from, doesn't it?
Yes, and it's got that very thin sea panel at the back.
Yeah.
It's
but beautiful. My favourite is soft top.
Oh, you like the... Oh, that's right, okay.
Oh, is it? Beautiful, beautiful. Oh, this is great. I love talking about this car.
But you know what, Trevor? What you have proven there, well, what you've both proven actually there in terms of how that car is regarded by other people is the fact that everybody who has seen the car, who's had it, wishes that they still had it. Obviously, Jason's decision was taken, you know, taken from him. Yeah. But in terms of the couple who obviously decided at that point in their lives they needed to sell it because they had a new child, and anybody else, but anybody then retrospectively, and it's not just about the fact that they are a great investment. I mean, that's an added bonus. But just as a car and as something which is so timeless and so classic, is that if you have one, if you're lucky enough to have one, I think you should never part with it.
No.
Well, I've made a big decision, and I do know it's one of the desirable classic cars because you can drive it every day. It's very practical. It's unbelievably good.
Yeah.
Only last week, obviously it's been raining. Now this is. I'm going to make a confession.
You go. Do you go out in the rain or not?
No. I'm going to make a confession now. But it leaks a little bit.
I mean with the car, not you, just generally.
No. It leaks a little bit through the window. You know what I mean? A little bit. You get a little bit. They're not perfect like that. Yeah. But this is a confession. It's a big one for petrol heads out there. They're going to be shocked at this. After this love fest we've been doing.
Mm. Yeah.
I've finally got a garage. My house has got a garage. I've got a drive and a garage. First time in my life. Right? Drive and garage.
Yep.
Where's the car?
It's on the drive.
On the drive, covered with all the rain, all that we've had all year. It never goes in the garage because there's a golf simulator in the garage. So I like golf more than I like my car.
Really?
No, really?
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you why. This is therapy for me, and this is good that you can help me here. I need help.
Listen, that might be the title of the podcast, Trevor. I like golf more than my car.
I park the car outside through all this rain. We've had record rain in this country the last year, and I've covered it. And inside inside is my golf simulator, because I want to get better at golf. I want to get better at golf. I only drive to Pagoda 5, 6, 7 times a year, right?
Yeah.
I don't want it to be showroom level because no one drives them. What's the point? Yeah. I don't get the point of collecting a car and just watching it. It's like a watch.
What's that noise?
Sorry, I should explain. Sorry. I don't know why this truck is going through my house. It's a truck reversed in my house.
I thought maybe somebody was coming to pick up the Pagoda.
What is this? Honestly, it's a huge... I think we've got width restriction on my road and lorries come down and they realise they can't get through and they've obviously begged to come and reverse my house so they can go back down. That's got to be what it is. Yeah, it's stopped beeping because he's going to go forward now. That is surreal. I've never seen that before.
I thought the dog had learned how to do lorry noises.
No, the dog's gone. We got the dog out still. Right. So, is that bad, guys?
Is it bad?
Is that sacrilegious?
Do you know what? I don't think it is, Trevor, because you've covered it. You've covered the car and you need an indoor simulator space. So I don't think that's bad.
I took the cover off the other day. It was disgusting, right? I tried to get it washed. The car, though, no signs of rust.
None.
You know, I called the AA to get a jump because it took, you know, the AA come over. Oh, my God, yes.
Okay.
Open the bonnet. Everything's where it should be. Yeah. Not like these modern cars. And he stood there, took a picture of it, just a jump start. He wanted to stay there and do other stuff, you know what I mean? And he's like, I said, what's it like being an AA man these days? He goes, oh, God. There's nothing, you open the bonnet, there's nothing to see. You can't get to anything, you know. They're always moaning.
Yeah.
Always moaning. So I've got it, and my feeling is, I said to myself, I'm not going to sell it, but I've decided I will sell it.
Oh, right, okay.
But I'm going to only sell it for one reason.
Right.
When my daughter finally backs down and says, Dad, I need some help to buy somewhere, that'll be a deposit money.
Yeah, okay. Good luck.
So
good
when
work.
She wants to, Do you know what I mean?
Good work.
She's out there DJing, doing her thing, but she always moans at me, oh, our generation will never be able to get property because you lot, you know, your generation. I'm like, I think that's my only reason to get rid of it. But it is the most beautiful car. I think it's I mean, it's out of the reach of most people now because they've really gone up in value. I know that. And if you've got a good one, you know, you can get six figures plus for it. You've got a really good one. But
but they feel just delightful, don't they? I mean, when we went and bought mine, my old man drove it from Zurich down to Monaco and went to Italy and took two, 3 days, had a wonderful time. And he said he's never driven a car where passers-by or people in little towns... Yeah. It was, you know, he's being applauded.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it?
Like he was royalty.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, my best mate, I've got a best mate who lives in Antigua. Who is, you know, when you have a mate who never works for anyone but lives off his wits, but is so clever, right? That I'm going to give him his props, Nigel. He's brilliant. He just comes up with stuff, and he's all legit. And he's gotten into Porsches, classic. He's got a 1950, I think, 9 Porsche, not the one James Dean, similar to the model James Dean had that crashing.
Yeah, the 356.
And he's trying to make me get into Porsche, and I'm like, I'm not into classic cars. I just like this one car. I don't profess to be this. He said, no, but Porsches have. If you know them, you can. You can buy the right one the right year. He's bought a couple of 90s ones and all this stuff. Anyway, so he picks me up. He says, look, I'll pick you up in this Porsche that I've bought. It's my most expensive Porsche. It's this, that, and the other. I'm like, oh, whatever. Comes around my house, picks me up in this Porsche. We go on the M25. It's got no seatbelts.
Oh, yeah.
And legally, it doesn't have to.
I know.
What is that true?
About?
Is that true?
Yes. We drove on the M25 without a seatbelt because he apparently says if the car's not made with seatbelts...
You don't have to have them.
You don't to have them.
No, it's right.
When I tell you, Dave, it was the scariest journey of my life. Everyone's looking at the car, which is lovely, but I didn't want them looking at the car. And the roof, you know, no roof. It was sitting there like this, and I'm like trying to grip onto something. No wonder James Dean didn't make it. It's nuts. It's nuts, but it's worth apparently an absolute fortune. But I don't have a passion for Porsches. I don't know why. I've never owned a Porsche.
But no, you've got a passion for the Pagoda because it's just that car. I think it's that car that actually you could take anywhere. There is no one is ever going to judge you in any scenario if you turn up in that car. Do you know what I mean? As in, you could never be somewhere where it wouldn't ever be good enough.
Absolutely.
And it works. It just works. It just is a beautiful car. Every time I take it out, the covers off every few months, I always put a little video, you know, a little Insta story. Yep. Here I am going to drive this, and you know, and you just get a flood.
Absolutely.
Of people going, that's my dream car, or oh man, if only. And it's a really nice thing because I don't think you don't get them for the pose totally. You get them because you love them, you know, and that's the truth. And I don't think it was always the most fashionable car. I mean, I remember when I first got it, a lot of people were like, why have you got that?
Yeah.
You know, cars were really changing at that time. They were getting very advanced, you know. And people were, I remember having an X5, the first generation of X5s. I couldn't believe, after Cherokee, I couldn't believe being in a car that high that held the road and just legged it. I was like, this is brilliant. And then you get in the old little it sounds good, but it's going very slowly. And people weren't like, they were on the X5s. They were on the new technology. The electronics in the car were advancing very quickly. And all of a sudden, you've got this sort of semi-automatic type, almost manual sort of thing. And why would you do that?
Yeah.
Which leaks a little bit, but it's beautiful. You see, it smells beautiful.
Time has proven your decision absolutely right, Mr. Nelson. Yeah. Jason, I think we need to get on to the final question. I already know what the car is going to be, but I think that we need to have the rest of the fantasy drive because this is a question, Mr. Trevor, that is made for you.
It's written for you. Okay. Written for you. So... this is the question, Trev.
Yeah.
So me and Dave believe that music and cars, they go and a drive go perfect together. Mm. So we want a fantasy drive. Mm. So where are you? Where are you going? what you're listening to, and most importantly, which I think we can all know what the answer to this will be, what you're driving.
Okay. I can tell you where I'll be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Scotland.
Ah.
Because me and the missus stayed in St Andrews one day. We hired a cheap car, whatever it was, a normal hire car, and we drove from St Andrews down to sort of Glasgow or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most beautiful day.
Yeah.
And we vowed one day to drive through Scotland. Scotland is beautiful, right?
Yeah.
And I want to do some sort of Scottish drive, definitely.
North Coast 500.
I was going to say, if only you knew somebody like Jason, who's currently got a film out all about the North Coast 500, which is the ultimate Scottish road trip.
Well, there you go. I knew nothing about that.
It's on YouTube. It's just come out last week. It's me, Jody Kidd, and a young racing driver called Dan Rowbottom doing the whole trip in three great cars.
I'd love that. And you know, I didn't say the West Coast or any of that stuff in America. I'm not going there, mate. It's got to be Scotland.
Yeah.
It tickled me, right? It's got to be the Pagoda,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Music, well, this is what we haven't touched on. In the Pagoda, I have a 10-track CD, 10 CD auto changer thing.
In the boot?
In the boot.
Yeah.
Right? I have messed with the system a bit. I've got some
more...
Yeah,
you've naughty got speakers.
Speakers. Mm.
Yeah.
And in there, I only have old school.
Right.
So I've got Al Green.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Al Green's... like greatest hits, Aretha Franklin's.
Yep.
Nice.
I've just gone great best ofs and stuff.
Yeah.
Greatest hits. I've got
Temptations.
I've got compilations that I've put together. So you know, something like Papa Was a Rolling Stone. Mm. The intro to that.
Yes.
On a drive is just unbelievable. And I don't care. You know, like when I used to laugh when I used to see people were driving classics dressing like, you know, like I used to laugh at them. I swear, when I was in the old Mini and the old GLS, the Golf, I laughed.
You do it as well now.
Well, not quite. I don't play new music in the old car.
Okay.
I only play old music in the old car. So okay. Al Green and Aretha are my go-tos, 100%. We'll say Motown, Temptations, that sort of thing. And if it is newish, it's 25 years old. Sort of D'Angelo stuff. It has got to. You do not want to spoil your car by playing hip hop, house, or anything, or any Brit pop, or any.
I think the car would hate it.
Yeah, it would.
It would grind its gears, wouldn't it?
And also that moment. And I don't care what anybody says. If you've had one of these cars long enough, you know you're going to get a little bit of attention every now and again. And I'm not. You know, I accept it. It's the only car I would ever drive where I can accept, all right, you can come and chat to me, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. And it'd be so disappointing if they came up to the car and were hearing something like ABBA.
Yeah.
or David Guetta popping out of there or something like that. It's got, they want to hear Love and Happiness, Al Green, or Still in Love, or a bit of reggae, a bit of Bob is nice.
It's got to befit the car, hasn't it? You know.
Yeah. Listen.
Who's the artist that were in the Italian Job on days like this?
Oh God, who was that? I don't know. You're moving me out of genre.
Oh yeah.
Dave knows not to ever shift me out of genre.
don't take
him, exposing me.
Don't take him out of his lane. Let's get out while the going's good, and let's say cheerio.
Sadly, that is it for this week's Fuel Around. I mean, I know we could, Dave. I could sit here all day.
Absolutely.
This has been great. So, Fueling Around, powered by Adrian Flux. As the UK's largest specialist insurance broker, Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to exact needs and help save you money on your car, your bike, or even your home insurance. Dave, as always, big thanks to you, but a huge thanks to our really special guest this week, the one and only Mr. Trevor Nelson. Thanks,
Trevor. It's been a lot. Listen, it's been a lot of fun. This is the only time I've ever talked about my Pagoda for a whole hour. So I've had the best time, and it's also, you don't want to waste your words on people who don't appreciate your car, because a lot of times people, they don't understand your passion for a car.
Yeah.
They don't get it. Oh, it's pretty. No, it's more than that.
Or they'll say something like, it's got a nice face. No. It hasn't got a nice face. It is a beautiful, work of art. But anyway, your words are not lost on us. Absolutely. And we've thoroughly enjoyed it. Don't forget to press subscribe on YouTube so that you never miss an episode, or press the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from.
So, folks, thanks for listening, and, well, we'll see you next time. Ta-da.